how many of you have a Bible? Does anybody have one? If you brought one and you'd like to look at some things, I would like to show you some things in the Bible. And it, to me, it is the most amazing book on the earth. And what I get out of it, I don't talk to a lot of people that get out of it what I get out of it. I don't know why that is. And I've spent a lot of years tearing it apart and not really rewriting it, just finding some stuff that's always been there. And it's amazing to me that it was always there. I can even find it in the King James. And you know, I found that that was good enough for Paul and Jesus. So it worked really well with me because it's really Southern too. And so it speaks Southern language really well, y'all. Genesis 1:1. I use this passage probably more than I realize that I use it, and probably one of the reasons I do. I'm sorry, did I mess up your... Okay. Genesis 1:1. Bereshit bara Elohim. I want to work with that word a little bit because Ray's already said some things about precious substance. How many of you have ever heard that? Well, right here in Genesis 2, I'll read you this before I read you that. And God formed man out of the dust, Hebrew afar, dust. And of course, you always have heard that, so you're just dirt balls, isn't that right? Just mud balls, got spit down there and done this thing in the mud, spit a little more, and that's how Kirby get baptized tonight. And did more, and then all of a sudden he had this guy, he's naked, looked good, and done like that, and the guy went streaking through the garden naked. And I know that's true because I read that in the Seventh-day Adventist book in the doctor's office. Yeah. And all of you did too. I said this years ago, and the more I say it now, and I don't really say it to upset people, but I say it over and over and over and over. If you take the Bible literally, and if you take the Bible historically, you have neutered it. You have made this book void and useless. And I think that's the greatest problem that we all face, is because you see this and you think that it's the telling of a history. And it's not. All of the ancients had certain methods to teach, and Jesus used the same methods. And so if you believe or if you don't believe in a literal Jesus, it's really irrelevant if you can catch the message. Because it's the message. It's what's in the message. And the message is told by every culture on the face of the earth. Period. Barna?
Whether they knew about
it. Whether they knew it or didn't know it, it is irrelevant. And so that message is about the precious substance. It really, really is. And so it says right here that God formed man out of the dust. And the word dust is afar, and the word afar actually means precious substance. It's in a better understanding of it from the original Hebrew, it means stardust.
Yeah.
Stardust. Or let me say it to you. I can say it for Mike so that he can take it into his lab. It actually means particles of light.
Yay.
Okay? So, and you can take that biologically now, science knows now that what you're made up of is particles of light. You are a light being. Whether you don't have to believe it. You don't have to know it. It's just a simple fact. You're precious. Precious substance. You're light particles. And so, and I may talk about that tomorrow, maybe.
We're more precious than we are bodies?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Hallelujah. Genesis 1:1, I say this. This is the seed. And if you and I can get the seed right, then we will begin to extract what the seed will do and what it can produce. Bereshit. That's the first word in the Hebrew that got translated in the beginning. It has nothing in the world to do with the beginning in Chronos time, like we know time. It got anything to do with time, as a matter of fact. The word Genesis. Y'all know this word. You're familiar with this word. If I did that like that, general or generation, if I were to say generation and I'm symbolizing generation, I could use G-E-N and say I'm symbolizing generation. Then do you understand what a generation is? You're a generation. Your parents were a generation. And what the book of Genesis is about the generations. That one disappeared. I have some more of these in my. It's about the generations of Isis. Or, as you said, Isis, E-S-I-S, or I-S-E-I-S-I-S. And, you know, people say, well, what does that mean? And sad that we don't know what that means. We should know what that means, but we don't. It's about the generation of Isis. Isis was a mythological character. And he's a mythological character that was very, very popular in Egyptian mythology and in the Egyptian culture. And so when you begin to realize that the book of Genesis is not really as Hebraic as you think that it really is Hebraic, it's really Arabic or it's really Egyptian. Wow, that didn't go over really good, did it? Yeah, it really is. When you begin to study the ancient mythologies behind it. As a matter of fact, Paul said this to all of us, and you all have been taught to believe it. And that is that we are all the children of our father, who? Abraham. If you say it the way it's said, either in the ancient Hebrew, Avram. Who is the ram? Who is the ram? You see the ram all through Egyptian culture. Or you would see it this way, and you have to pay attention and notice this particular word. When you're talking about Isis, you're also talking about this right here. And you'll see this everywhere. If you pay attention to it, you'll see it all through Scripture. Sarah. It's all through Israel. Well, who is Israel? You were told that it's a group of people over there. No, it's three names. It's the name Israel. It's three ways to say the same thing. In other words, it's God. And so it's three different ways that you're saying the same thing. And you said, well, I thought that Israel was a nation over in the Middle East. Well, we've been dumbed down to think that. But see, the book of the Bible, Bereshit, Bara Elohim. Elohim. And you know, Elohim is a very, very E-L-O-H-Y-M. Elohim. And if I think you guys know this. I'm sure you do. I hope you do. If you don't, Elohim, gods. And here we go. Now we're in a lot of trouble because we think gods. Now we're really getting, isn't that kind of cultish? Or maybe
going straight to hell.
Talking about aliens and what?
Gods. I mean, you know, if you don't have, you can buy any Hebrew concordance. And you'll find this to be true. Elohim means gods, plural. You can buy a Presbyterian concordance, Hebrew concordance, or you can buy a Baptist. And they'll say the same thing. They'll tell you that it's gods, G-O-D-S. And here's where we really have had a hard time swallowing this pill since 326 for the last almost 1,800 years, 1,700 years. We've really had a hard time swallowing this idea of the triune figure, God the Father, God Jesus, and God the Holy Ghost. We had never got that worked out yet. You know why? It can't be worked out.
It just keeps.
I remember 35, nearly 40 years ago, when I was doing my seminary, what you call seminary studies from Brother Dave, and I would ask him so many questions. He'd get so frustrated with me. He'd get aggravated with me because I didn't know what I was supposed to ask the questions, and I didn't know what was wrong with the questions when I would ask him. And so he would just get really frustrated with me. But that's just, I wanted to know. I mean, all of it, and so much of it did not make sense. I just couldn't buy a fish swallowing a man for and him staying in the fish for 3 days and living. You wasn't going to sell that to me. You see, it's strange when you come inside of a building and you call it a church and you've got windows that they painted on and they put a cross above it that you leave your brain in the car. You think that you're supposed to come in there and they tell you, just believe, just have faith, just trust me. Well, I didn't. I wasn't from Missouri. I just wanted to go. It did not make sense. You trying to tell me three guys is walking around in this furnace that they built, this huge furnace, and they all in there, and it's furnace, the fire is so hot, their hair is not singed, and their clothes don't smell like smoke. Come on. Now, we can get drunk in the bar, and we can tell each other stuff like that. You know, and they say, oh, hell yeah, that's really, yeah, well, I may tell you what to do. But, you know, we come in church, and they say, oh, you read it in the Bible. Well, let me tell you what you read in the Bible. You read a mythological story that hides precious truth. It's not literal. It's a story about symbolic stuff. It's about the mystery of God. God is hid in a mystery, and if you don't know how to unveil God in the mystery, you won't know God. It's not about a literal three men running around in some kind of a furnace that they had built for men to walk around in. Dumb. It don't sound good. Come on, think. We don't think. We just don't think. People don't live 3 days in the belly of a big fish.
And snakes don't talk.
God. Barashit, bara Elohim. Well, if we could begin to get out of the box of literalism, if we can get out of that box of literalism and say, okay, this is spiritual stuff. This is mythological truth. This is not necessarily something that, you see, a myth just simply means that it was a fabulous story or it was a fabulous tale that had great intent to it. That's all a myth is. Jesus constantly used myths in his allegories. They're the same thing. They're fabulous stories that have things hid in them. And if you don't know how to go in there and find out what's hid in them, you won't even understand the story.
Yeah.
You think he's just talking about fishing.
Yeah.
You know? And it's amazing. So here we're talking about Barashit. The seed. Here is the seed. If we can understand God's, G-O-D-S. And so I want to put something on the board, and we will probably work with it. I thought I had I guess we don't have an eraser, do we? Is this our eraser? Yeah, I got one. I have one. I was a Boy Scout.
You got to be prepared.
So I got all this stuff in my briefcase in my room,
but we'll run out of it, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, we want to talk about Barashit, Bara, Elohim, in Et. Et in the Hebrew, E-T, which is the Aleph and the Tov. The Aleph is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. The Tov is the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And if I told you in southern Georgia, I'm going to explain to you how Ford works from A to Z. What would you think?
You're going to give me the whole thing.
I'm going to tell you the whole thing. I'm going to show you the whole picture. Hebrew's the same way. So when they use the Hebrew et, it's used a pretty good bit throughout Scripture. But when it's used, the Aleph and the Tov, it's the same as saying, I'm going to explain to you the whole shebang. I'm going to tell you everything about it. And it says, Bareshit bara Elohim in et Shamayim. Got translated heaven. It's not a planet. It has to do with precious substance. It's called ether. It's called air. It's called a lot of different things. But it's not a ball somewhere out there on the other side of the galaxy or somewhere hid out there a lot bigger than the earth. And it looks like the earth, but it's a whole lot bigger. And you got a mansion up there. Because you haven't won the lottery here yet.
Yeah.
And if you got the lottery here and you hit that $360 million, you'd have your mansion here. You wouldn't need to go there. That's another one of those things. You know, mysteries that they are actually the childish stories, but we have been so dumbed down by them by trying to think that they're literal. When they're not. So when we're talking about heaven, you go in the Old Testament scripture, you look it up yourself. Et Shamayim. He said, I'm going to show you the whole gamut of what the higher ether is about. I'm going to show you how that you, and if you and I will just learn this very simple principle through meditation, when you go into meditation and you begin to shut your mind down and you begin to quieten yourself, you become the bride and you allow the groom to just take you and dance you. That's all in the world you're doing when you're meditating. You're dancing with God. And when you're dancing with God, you let God take the lead. And the way you let God take the lead is you just shut up. You just go on for the ride. You just stand on his toes and say, take me anywhere you want to go. And we can come back to these very simple but very basic truths of the meditation. He says in Psalms 1, if you and I would just meditate, if we would come to this place of meditation. Meditation, in back in my Bible school days, they said it meant to muse, or it meant to take the Bible and chew it over and over, the Bible. It doesn't do it. It doesn't mean that. I said that, brought back. It don't mean that.
Don't worry, man. Yeah.
So, we're talking about everything there is. He says everything there is et shamayim in et eretz. So he said, I want to show you the whole thing. I want to give you the whole picture of this precious substance. And I want to give you the whole picture of this beautiful form that the substance is in. That is called, which is the title of our conference in June, with this same thing repeat, heaven on earth. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So, who is this Elohim? Let's see if I can give you a picture of it. In all of the ancient materials, this Elohim was always there, and they always understood this. And need my eraser again. They always understood this precious substance. Okay. How many of you ever seen me do my stick man? Okay, the way I do my stick man so that I can get away with a lot of stuff is I use it for your endocrine glands. Okay? That's what I do with it. I use it for your endocrine glands because it works. It works with the endocrine glands and the gonads, the women's ovaries, the male testicles, starting here and just working your way up. And so it works that way. Okay, so we're talking about the Elohim. Now you might say, why did I draw those circles up there if I'm going to talk about the Elohim? Well, I drew those circles up there because the Elohim is, another way I can say it is the spheres. And so when I'm thinking of spheres, I'm thinking of circles. And what I'd like for you to do, if you have your Bible, go with me to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. And before I read this at Exodus, I want to read some stuff here from some books that I brought with me. I carry these books. I think I got one hid somewhere. Yeah, here we go. How many of you have ever heard of the Emerald Tablets? They're in the British Museum. They are probably the oldest bit of writing that we have. Some date them back 30,000 years.
Amen.
That's pretty old, isn't it? That's older than Earth. Older than Earth. Yeah. So the Emerald Tablets, they date the Emerald Tablets back to about 30,000 to 35,000 years. Now I want to read something from the Emerald Tablets. Can y'all hear me without this microphone? Y'all can hear me good, can't you?
Yeah.
Let me do that, because this thing, I'm gonna
put it right there on
this hanger. That's a good place for it, isn't it? See, my lightning fast mind catches on. I'm slow, but I'll get there eventually. This is, I don't know why this stuff resonates with me. Well, I do. I probably wrote this 30,000 years ago. I'm sorry, you know, I'm just being honest. That's all. I'm sorry.
If it was done, it's done.
Precious. Just call me Precious.
Precious.
Deep, now listen to it. Deep in the dark halls sit the seven. Seven units of consciousness from cycles above. Manifest they in this cycle as guides of men to the knowledge of all. Now that's not doing for y'all what that does to me. That just does things to me. I don't know what it just does that. Because when I read that, it's talking to me, and I'm thinking, whoa, this comes from the all. Who is the all? The all is the precious. He's everywhere. He's nowhere. He's not. He's the formlessness that's taken on form. He's the infinite that's taken on the finite. I mean, he's the timeless that's visited time. I mean, so when I'm reading this, that's why I just, it comes alive inside me. He guides me into the knowledge of the all. Seven are they, mighty in power. And you're going to see this, because you see Genesis 1 opens up, and you'll see this so often throughout the Bible. You'll see seven. You'll see it in so many different ways, whether it's 7 days, the Hebrew day word yom. The word yom actually means life or fullness of life. It really is not referring to a 24-hour cycle as much as it's referring to a fullness of life, so that you can experience the... It says this in Psalms 91:16. With long life, the Hebrew word there, life, is yom, the same word that got translated for day in Genesis 1 and 2. Same word, yom, Y-O-H-M. Yom, and it means the fullness of life. So he said there's seven different characteristics to the fullness of life, and he just got through telling us about the Elohim gods. And then it's amazing that all of a sudden he starts talking about seven. And you'll see this, it just goes over and over. And when you come to the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation is just a Gnostic book that's filled with mysterious stuff. Hadn't got anything that did happen or didn't happen, would happen or will happen. It has everything to do with what's happening.
Right now.
See, it's not about yesterday or tomorrow. It's about today. It's about the eternal precious right now. It's about the unveiling of the seven churches. Source. The word ek comes from the Greek. E-X. Ek means source. And klesia or kleo. Words. Origin. The source. The origin of the words. And we thought the church was some place that we go. No, it's the origin of your very own speech. It's inside you. So it doesn't matter what language on the face of the earth you speak. You could speak Southern and Hebrew like me. Perfect. Like God.
Like God.
Or something else. Seven are they, mighty in power. Speak these words through me to men. Time after time stood I before them, listening to words that came not with sound. Did you hear that? Ray was trying to say that. And he didn't even know he was trying to say it. Words, what happens to you when you meditate? I'm going to tell you what happens to you, because God is the very breath that you breathe. A ruach, the ruach began to brood. That's the spirit of God. That's the essence of God. That's the precious substance of God began to brood itself all over this earth. It does it to you. And when you begin to... Words without sound issued through you. Let me read it to you again. It says, seven are they, mighty in power, speaking these words through me to men. Time after time stood I before them, listening to words that came not with sound.
Awesome.
They've always, you know, yeah, he was there all the time. And I didn't know it. We didn't know it.
Right.
Once said they unto me, O man, wouldest thou gain wisdom? Seek for it in the heart of the flame. Wouldest thou gain knowledge of powers? Seek ye it in the heart of the flame. Would you be one with the heart of the flame? Seek within thine own hidden flame. Because you see, the breath that you breathe is the fire, the essence, the energy that God is. It's the force, it's the light substance. And when you breathe that in, I mean, you know, you're a spark off the old flame. And if I were to, if I wanted to, I could, and I could do it easily enough. And I could just take this. I'm going to do it with this one. Now, I know what you think that is. I know what you think of that. It's not what you think it is. I'm going to warn you with that before. Well, here, I'm going to show you what that is. You see, the egg in the Hebrew Passover meal, there's some things that's there that's pertinent. Most people don't have a clue why they're there. One of them's a brown egg. Now, y'all know about the glass of wine. We'll have one of them in a little while. You know about the bread. Most people don't know about the brown egg. They don't know about the brown. That's all symbolic. Every bit of that is symbolic. The brown egg. The woman carries this thing in her womb called the egg, and it's a certain time when that egg is ready. You know what I'm saying. I mean, me and Connie found out what that was about earlier. And so, my mother says, Lynn, she's very fertile. You have to be more careful. That's and again, you can prove this now, medical science can prove this, that when the sperm, you know, Peter says that the word of God is the Greek word sperma, seed. The word of God is the seed, it's the sperm. And what does a sperm do? The sperm has to do this. It has to crack the egg. And do you know that that sperm will not crack that egg until that egg is completely surrounded with sperm? Most people thought that there is just one of y'all, because you're the one that cracked the egg. But most people thought there would just... They were just one. It was running a race. You got up there. No. It was divine intelligence knew which one would crack the egg, because they were all around the egg, preparing that egg for this sperm to crack. This is the symbol of that brown egg in the Jewish Pesach, in the Passover meal. Why do we miss these simple but profound truths? Because this truth right here, now I know what you thought this was. You thought this was the
sun.
Or solar. You are right. Because as the sun is fire, so is that sperm fire. And when that spark of God penetrated that form of that egg, spirit and matter married. And you're the results of it.
With a big bang.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now then, I said all that, if you will, here in Exodus. So what's this got to do with Exodus? Exodus 25, verse 31, it says, "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches and his bowls and his knops and his flowers shall be the same." In other words, it's all, you know the story, it's all one solid piece of gold. Be out. Six branches shall it have. Okay, here we go. Six branches shall it have. Okay. And then it has another one. Okay. Comes right up through it like this. Six branches shall it, let's see, let me read verse 2. Six branches shall come up out of the sides of it. Three branches of the candlestick out of one side. So here you go. You've got three out of this side. Three out of this side and three out of this side. Did you got? I know my candle is a little tilted, but that's okay. Bear with me on menorah. Here you go. Let's get it like this, and you think, well, that looks much better, brother. Man. Are you buying off on it now? Okay. Now I want you to see something here. He says, because you know, I know you all have seen this. And many times we didn't see it. Because you see, the truth is hidden in plain sight. That's why you don't see it. You're looking at it all the time and don't know it's there. Sometimes the reason we can't find God because we're just running into him all the time. Didn't he? He was there all the time. Didn't know it. So he says, let's see, in verse 32, six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches on the candlestick out of one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side, three bowls, made like unto the almonds, and knop, and a flower in one branch, and three bowls, and not the almond in the other branch. Now, all that, da 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 da. So here we go. Now that's more accurate to what he said. And then he goes on and he says this. In verse 3, three bowls make like unto the almonds, a knop and flower in one branch, and three bowls like unto the almond in the other branch, knop in the bowl, and then the sixth branch that comes out of the candlestick. And then the candlestick, four bowls made like unto. Look at this one right here. This one's got four. This one has four. These have three. And if you count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. 22 is a master number. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Every letter in the Hebrew alphabet is an aeroglyph. An aeroglyph simply means that it is a holy character. It's a holy character. 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Each one of those letters represents different facets of Shamayim, or the essence, or the fire of God. Why do you think it's a candlestick? And why do you think fire is in each one of these? Because they are the symbol of the Elohim, the gods, the sphere, the here's the one that you really have a hard time. The zodiac. This is a picture of the zodiac. This is Aries. A-R-I-E-S. This right here is Virgo?
Libra's opposite of Aries.
Yeah, right here. Libra?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got this one tilted. Yeah, that would be right. Yeah, that would be right. That would be correct. It's tilted over a little bit. The Elohim, any place in Scripture, when you talk about Elohim, you're talking about the seven planets, which are five visible planets that you can see with your naked eye. The sun and the moon are the other two. Always. So when you want to know who God is, you look at God every day in the sky as the S-U-N. You look at God every night in the heavens as the M-O-O-N. And all of the other spheres. Those are symbols that represent not an old gray-headed man, but an energy and an essence that every one of us are exactly like. Because everything, that's why the old aphorism that they would use, as above, so below. As without, so within. As the microcosm, so the macrocosm. I mean, all of those things, they all just coincide. They all run together. And you will see this. This is, and I'm going to, because there's so much importance in all of these things I've got up here, right here is the one where I'm going to give the most importance. And if I were looking at these as endocrine functions, you'd call that one right there your heart. If I were counting it in the book of Revelation or in mystical numbers, I would call it 1, 2, 3 and a half. 1, 2, 3 and a half. And you see that number over and over. I used to argue with Brother Dake. I said, there ain't no 7-year tribulation in the Bible nowhere. Well, there is. No, there's not. Tain't there. You won't find it nowhere. But I can show you a lot of places of 3 and a half. And you can count it off in 3 and a half in days, 1260 days if you'd like. Doesn't matter, you still won't come up with 3 and a half. And you'll find this over and over. So when you, and right here becomes the critical part, the half. Ezekiel says it like this. You have a divided heart. You see, when you and I come into this journey, we took the body as a prison, and our soul become trapped in this physical body, not necessarily trapped, but it chose to be in this physical body. And in this physical body is where the greatest expression of all that there is. And we are, I think, on the threshold, cracking the egg, so to speak, to begin to realize how phenomenal and how fabulous this thing really is. We hadn't figured it out yet. Why? We got trapped in its emotions, not realizing the emotions were given to serve me, not me, them.
Right.
Boy, we had it backwards. That's backwards, in case. That wasn't a bad word. That's just backwards. We've had backwards. And so we come back and we begin, and here's where this thing gets lost. It gets lost right there, soul ego. And I've been really grappling with this for so many years where we're trying to figure out how many of you been trying to kill and get rid of your ego. If you get rid of your ego, you will not be able to taste how good food is.
That's right.
If you get rid of your ego, you will not be able to enjoy all of the phenomenal pleasures that God has given you here to enjoy, because it's your ego that connects you to the physical dimension. Your feelings and your emotions are all tapped into your ego directly. Right. They're hardwired. They're straightwired right into your ego. And when you and I begin to learn to access my ego and use it for its divine purpose, we will begin to walk as God walks on the earth. That's God's design. That's God's man-made flesh.
That's right.
Wow. That'll set you free.
And that will set you free. So I'm just going to quit and unhook right there. That place to stop. I did have some stuff. I would read you some stuff out of this. I'll read you some out of this tomorrow, okay? I quit. I give up.